What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 27 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and joining me today is Mr. Trump here, as always. What's up, Trump?
Oh, hi.
We got a guest interviewer too, Nimsh here, a good friend of ours, been on the show before. What's up, Marcin?
Hey, Chris. Hi, guys. And we get to be here again.
Awesome. And we got a special guest today, Mr. Ben Brode, who's never been on the show, so first timer, and it's really, really great to have you on. He's a Blizzard Hearthstone senior game designer, and he's going to get a chance to talk to us about a lot of the new news with the Noxramas adventure mode, all that good stuff, and hopefully we get a chance to talk about some balance and some other news like the World Championships and Fireside Gathering. So lots to talk about today. Really excited to have you here. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you very much. It's super exciting to be here.
Yeah, awesome. But okay, let's just get things started because, you know, Ben, we don't have Ben for a super long time. But I think figured we would just kick it off with just talking about Noxramas and you're just really talking about just the details with that. And I'll let Nimsh kind of lead the way here.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. So, Ben, you've announced Noxramas, which is like great news for all the players because you bring a lot of content. Why Noxramas? Like, it's an adventure mode, but you could pick all the other different like instances or dungeons from the World of Warcraft universe. Why Noxramas?
Well, a lot of reasons. First, Noxramas is awesome. I don't know if you guys have played through Noxramas in World of Warcraft, but it's clearly one of the best. It's super moody, and it's got this great vibe in it. Also, it is very familiar to lots of people who played World of Warcraft because it was the final raid in Classic World of Warcraft and the first raid in Wrath of the Lich King. So kind of two eras of World of Warcraft players have been through Noxramas and seen, you know, these super iconic villains in the dungeon. And it's got a ton of bosses. There's 15 bosses in it. And so we wanted to do a lot of single-player missions, and this was a great fit for that.
It may be like the game was lacking Death Knight, so it also brings some kind of a Death Knight-ish theme.
Yeah, there's a little Death Knight-ish theme in there, sure, yeah. I mean, for those people who are who keep tweeting at me to please...
Exactly. Placating all those guys, exactly. Right?
Okay, so like 15 bosses, and lots of those bosses have like really amazing mechanics in the game. You've spoiled already like Hagen, that there will be this Hagen dance that targets the minion on the side. What is the best mechanic you think like designed for this adventure mode?
Well, I don't want to spoil any of the cool surprises, but I'll just explain kind of some of the stuff that we think about when designing these missions. So we want it to be simple enough to understand what's going on right away. So if you look at the opposing player's hero power, it does something like Hagen's where it deals damage to the guy on the left, and you start thinking like, oh, maybe I'll put like the Gurbashi Berserker in my deck and put him on the left side and Hagen will keep enraging him, or I'll put the Nerubian on the egg on the left side. Maybe Hagen will destroy that and make a 4-4 for me. And that's the kind of thing that we want you to immediately start thinking about when you see the opposing hero's hero power. And the heroes have, you know, some unique cards in their decks as well, and maybe they do some other stuff that maybe you're not expecting, but that's kind of the thing that we want to crystallize, some new way to think about your deck or how to play the game that changes it from what you are seeing in the arena or on the ladder.
So can you at least say, like, without spoiling anything, which mechanic that you designed is best for you, so that when you release in the summer, I will know that, oh yeah, this was the band's favorite.
I'll just say that I put a lot of time into the Kel'Thuzad fight. And it's okay. I'm not gonna say what goes, but it's I'm very happy with all of the pieces. All the VO is so exciting for Nax. I'm like I don't know. You guys, when you see it, you'll be I think you'll be excited too. It's really great.
I'm excited already, actually. So Noxramas theme. We have a new game board. Like, we have this Noxramas game board with a lot of Acid and Plague and stuff. Will this be the only game board that you're adding, or are you also planning getting something more frosty for the frost worm lair or something?
It's just this one game board, and this game board is so awesome. The artists who are doing the clickables and Ben Thompson, who painted the whole thing, I mean, it's just got this great vibe. It's really different than the other boards. It's moody, but it's still got, like, this is super challenging, by the way, to get something that feels Nexramacy and spooky. It also feels like you're in an inn, in a tavern, playing with your buddies. You know what I mean? Like that that cross section is really narrow, I think. And these guys nailed it. I mean, it's just awesome. It feels Nexramacy. It feels like the inn, and it's really fun to play on the. Everybody walks by when I'm playing, and Nax is like, "Wow, it's really cool," and the things are moving, and it's just great.
So I feel like the JPEG doesn't actually give up all the things you're saying.
No,
like,
not at all. No. Okay. Yeah, like the, I don't know if you've seen the image, but there's like a pot of like ooze in the top right corner. It's kind of like janky and like, you know, jiggling, and you know, things are flying out of it, and you know, just the spider eggs in the bottom left corner are kind of like, you know, jittering, and you click on them, explodes, and little spiders crawl out. It's great. It's really charming.
Here you go.
So like design wise, you said that Ben Thompson actually had to create the new map there. With regards to card art for the expansion, did you have to commission like a lot of new art, or are you reusing some stuff that you had before?
Yeah, I mean, we one of the great things about making a game in the Warcraft universe is there's so much incredible art to use. So we are using some of this just huge library of incredible images, and then we also went out and commissioned a bunch of new art for some of the designs that we're really excited about that we didn't have art for in the past. So there's a bunch of new art in Nax, and it's mind-blowing. And we showed some of it with the Nurbian Egg and the Dancing Swords, mm-hmm. and there, it just gets better and better from there. There's so many cool new pieces. The new Lotheb art is shocking. It's so good. Sammy did it. It's just amazing.
So I had a question about the difficulty level of the bosses.
Sure.
I think a few people, I think, were asking in Reddit, and I've seen it a few times, is it just going to be set? Is it just going to be the same for everybody, or is it going to maybe be adjusted based on, you know, maybe your rank or what cards you have and that sort of thing?
When you play a mission, it's set at a certain difficulty. And hopefully that difficulty is such that players who are new-ish still, when they get Nax and start playing, aren't like immediately blocked. Like, okay, I know you paid a bunch of gold to get access to this wing, but unless you beat the bosses, you don't get the cards. Right. So, like, you don't get the cards because you're not very good, or you don't have, you know, you haven't figured out a good deck yet, or whatever. So we got to make sure that players who are super excited about Nax and haven't tuned figured out their strategies yet still can get in there and beat it eventually. Maybe they have to build a deck specifically to beat this boss, or maybe get a little lucky. But hopefully they can beat those missions as well. But then also, we want to make it really entertaining for players like you guys and me. So that's tricky. But I think we have some ideas for other things that we can do to kind of reach that goal. And I'm not ready to talk about all those things just yet. But I think we'll deliver on some exciting stuff for everybody.
But there's some scaling to some extent, right? There'll be like easier guys leading up to somebody who's really hard.
I mean, we're not going to make every boss exactly the same difficulty level.
Cool.
Some bosses. I know that people in our playtesting environments have been struggling against Gothic, for example. I think some bosses will be harder than others, but everybody, I think, will have a good time learning about these crazy new mechanics and how they can build their decks to take advantage of them.
Okay, very cool. Lots of new cards announced, you know, and there was one recently this week. We actually talked about the first five last week, just with Trump and Raynaud. But which we can get your actually let's just get your opinion on those the first five first, and Trump, actually, do you have any question regarding the first five cards? Maybe you can ask Ben.
No.
Okay. That's good. I thought maybe it's all good. No, but anyways, first five cards. I kind of just arrived at Trump with that one. So yeah. Anyways,
some questions actually.
Lots of really cool designs, and okay, Nimps, if you got some questions, why don't you ask them?
Yeah, I think like I can jump ahead actually and ask about the keywords, because like from the cards that were spoiled last week, we've seen a lot of Death Rattle and like Baron Rivendor being a card that's actually like stresses Death Rattle as the keyword of the adventure mode. So this is like the whole design of the of everything, because like we are getting 30 new cards for Constructed. But there will be like a ton of new cards for the adventure mode that are not available for Constructed play, right?
Yeah, some, yeah. Like that the bosses will use against you, but you can't play in your own.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's some like that, yeah. They're totally unfair. they're like totally brutal.
and unbalanced, actually, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, and so like the Defraddle, right? It's the keyword for the set. So there is nothing new in terms of the keywords that.
Yeah.
You're right in that there aren't any new keywords, but there's definitely a lot of new things that we haven't done before. Yeah, I mean it's you know, we talk about keywords a lot, and I think it's interesting when to do a keyword and when not to do a keyword, because there are some things like let me think of an example here. There's two cards in the expert set, Emperor Cobra and Patient Assassin, that have the exact same power, and we could have keyworded that power, and then you would see it on the other guy and be like, oh, that's the same thing as Patient Assassin. There's not very many of those guys who do that. So maybe if we did a ton more of those in the future, we would keyword it at that point. But if you're new to the game and you read Emperor Cobra and it says, you know, insta kill or whatever, then you're like, well, what is that? I don't know what that means. And you mouse over it, you have to, you know, kind of two parts to understanding the card. But once you do that, you get it. And so the next time, and you see Patient Assassin, you're like, oh, I get it. I remember that guy. You don't have to read it at all, almost. But the interesting thing is, without doing a keyword, you actually have to read both cards. You have to read Patient Assassin, understand it, then go read it in Emperor Cobra, read it again, and then realize, oh, that's the same thing that I already read before and understood from the last time I read it. So yeah. Keywords actually make things easier to understand once you understand what the keyword is over a series of cards. Mm-hmm. But in a small amount, it doesn't actually makes it more confusing, because your players aren't exposed to it all the time, and so they have to read it and then mouse over it and read it again. There are new mechanics, but not new keywords yet.
Okay, but on the other hand, like the Defraddle and the interactions that we'll see, like I feel like it gives more depth to the game, because there will be more triggers. Like with regards, if you, for example, have like a minion with the Defraddle Baron, and you copy Baron with Faceless Manipulator, what happens then? Like how many Defraddles were I'm going to get? So
well, so the reason that this works differently than Velen, I think, says double your damage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you play two of them, he like quadruples your damage. And if you face us the first one, but Baron says your death rattles trigger twice. So if that happens, it's just saying it happens twice. And this guy says it happens twice. They both agree it happens twice. So it's okay. It's not that each instance
it's
of
quadrupled.
It splits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing if that happened. Yeah. I can't even put enough veins on the board.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. So a new card was announced today, just the class-specific card, right, with the Druid card. Let's talk a little bit about that. That card is pretty amazing, actually. First thought that comes to me is that Handlock, just GG Handlock, right, against at least that matchup. But, yeah, talk to us a little bit about this card. I mean, just why pick the design for this card?
Let's see. We're thinking about this what to do for druids in Nexramas, and we wanted to do something that had to do with death. Pretty much every card has something to do with death or death rattle. And so we were thinking about like, you know, druids and their interaction with death, and how they sometimes find a way to bring life out of death.
Right.
And so we thought about tree ants or growth of some kind. And this is just kind of one. We just pitched a bunch of ideas on, you know, how to get the druid theme. With druids and Nexramas are not necessarily things that belong together. There's not like a druidic thing going on in Nexramas, except for maybe like poisonous mushrooms. It's like the closest relevant thing. So So this card is our attempt at getting that death feel, that you know, destroying guys. It works well with death rattle, right? We considered. You know, we could have made this like a mass polymorph sort of, where it transforms guys into trees, mm-hmm. but this actually triggers all the death rattles, so it works well with the other cards in the set as well.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. When it comes to the class cards, I guess, being introduced in Nexramas, will there just be one per class, or will there be equal numbers per class, or what's the plan with that?
There's going to be one new class card per class. The rest are neutral cards.
All right. Okay,
and the biggest reason for that actually is that there's a lot of really cool creatures and bosses in Nexramas, and we wanted to put a lot of them in Nexramas as neutral minions. So we had so many cool ideas. The set was originally going to be smaller than this, and we were like, oh, let's add this guy. Let's add, oh, this would be so fun. And so like it just get kept getting bigger and bigger, because we're so excited about all the new cards and all the new mechanics, and that's how it ended up getting to be 30 cards.
Yeah, so in total we are getting 30 new cards, which will totally change the metagame, it seems. Because so many cards, many interactions. And it will be changing the metagame in batches.
When we change the balance of like two cards, it totally changes the metagame.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When you don't change any cards, it changes like, you know, week to week.
True,
so,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited, man. It's going to be amazing. It's literally going to flip the meta. I mean, it's going to, in some ways, maybe even start it from scratch, which is super exciting. But yeah, any other questions, guys, for Noxramas?
Yeah, I think, like, we touched... Jeffrey, unless you want to ask a question.
He's saving it for balance, man, so...
Okay. Yeah, I want to ask a balance question, and... also about testing. So we are getting 30 new cards, which is a lot. And we just said that we will be changing the metagame. You will be releasing them in batches. So like the first week you unlock Spider Wing, we get 5 new cards injected. Like 5, right? It's like...
Pretty close.
Or 4-ish. 5-ish.
Something like... Yeah, 5-ish, like 5, 7, whatever. It's like we are getting those cards.
It depends on when the class cards come into the mix. I forgot.
So it's like there will be 5 different metagames in consecutive weeks, because the first week we get Spider Wing cards, we have metagame with Spider Wings.
Yep.
And,
oh wow, yeah, that's so true. I didn't think about that.
That would be pretty exciting.
it is. It's going to be nuts. I mean, everything you think you know in this week, by the next week, it's all different. And then by the next week, it's all different again. And some things will start to, like, you know, there's good cards in all these wings. So things will start to kind of take a foothold. But then by week 4, maybe something else changes everything again. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be cool to see people try and go through the dungeons and post on Reddit and say, hey, someone help me with a deck for Feralina. I can't figure out how to beat this thing. And then now I got that card. What do I build? Like, it's going to be totally different. There's going to be so many new ideas about how the game works and how the bosses work. I'm super excited.
Yeah, for like PvE experience that we are going to get, it seems very amazing. Like, we'll be trying to get through the dungeons and get the optimal setup. I'm sure, like, people will also do challenges, like trying to defeat this boss with like only a common deck without any rares and stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we have constructed play where you will be like changing the metagame every week, and maybe some deck will be like the best, and everybody will play it for a certain week. Like, did you plan for that as well, or do you plan to actually like tweak the cards if they are too powerful in certain combinations?
Well, it's. Nothing, even if something is dominant for a week, I mean, we've seen that through the course of release so far. Things come up, and then once you know everyone's playing this, you can put cards in your deck to counter that strategy.
Chop it down, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
things will happen. People will try out the new cards, or someone will realize that everyone's trying the new cards, and maybe these cards are good against the new cards, or whatever. And we'll see these spikes of new strategies. But because there's new content coming next week, and because people are going to realize what's good against those new strategies, it's going to change all the time for weeks. And then hopefully, you know, you guys will have time to try out all these new strategies with the whole set of Noxramas cards and see if you can break that meta. And there was another part of your question, but I've forgotten what it was now.
Yeah, it's more like, okay, so like it will be super exciting, and we will live in a chaos for like a month or something.
Yep.
But then after a month...
will we change cards?
Yeah, exactly.
We are trying not to change cards because I think the best environment is one where you guys come up with strategies to beat the current dominant strategies, and not us. I don't think it's as fun when this deck is winning and everyone's like, okay, well, that deck just wins. Let's wait for Blizzard to change something, and then we'll keep playing.
Right.
It's more fun when you're like, oh, how do I build a deck that's good against this deck and that deck? What cards do I put in to take advantage of the weaknesses that are shared amongst the current meta? Am I okay with losing to, having a low win percentage against this type of deck? If I can get a higher win percentage against this type of deck, what do I expect to see when I go up that ladder? I think that's cooler than just throwing your hands up and like, okay, well, they'll come in and fix this at some point, and I'll keep playing the deck that I always play. So I'd rather not change any cards. I'd rather... come out with a bunch of super balanced cards that seem really overpowered, and then have you guys experiment in that space. But we at the same time, we're always looking at what is going on, and if there is something that is truly awful, we could come in and change it. But it so far, I don't think has quite happened that we've had that since release. Certainly, a lot of cards have come very close to that mark, but I don't think we've seen anything where we had to come in and immediately step in and say, "Okay, this is this is not right yet."
Okay, so, why don't we continue the balance talk? Like, I think we have a few more balance questions, but into our balance section of the show. So why don't we move on into the balance, and I'll let Trump start it off with some balance questions here. Jeff, you wanna start off with some?
Sure. At the end there, I just wanted to add that I like how everything's going to change up and how over the weeks there's going to be a lot of variety. That's why I play Arena, and I also really love how they're introducing the cards slowly into Arena. That's going to be really cool as a way to introduce into the set. Mm-hmm. All right. That said, though, let me unleash a question on you.
Was waiting for that.
Oh, man. He's been waiting all this time to get that one out there.
It's a question I'm sure has been hounding you for a bit. Are there any concerns about Hunter right now in the design team's minds? Good. And if so, what are they?
Well, you know, I think that Unleash the Hounds is one of the cards I get the most feedback on, not just from Twitter or by read posts about it constantly. People around the office come by my desk and they're like, dude, what's going on with this card? It's probably the card that is the highest up on our cards that we're looking at and say, hey, if we do change something, this is a card that would be maybe a candidate for that. But at the same time, it actually has been very interesting to watch what's happened, at least at the highest levels of play, regarding hunters and their win rates. Because I see everything on the back end, and hunters for a little while skyrocketed, and they were the top. And now there's a lot of new decks that are coming out that are really good against hunters, and people are hitting legend with a bunch of different types of different classes, and so things are changing, and that's kind of what we've seen basically about any meta that has existed in Hearthstone to date, is that people come up with ways to defeat even really good strategies. It's interesting, and we're looking at it. I wouldn't expect a change anytime soon to any hunter cards, but if we we're paying very close attention, and we could see a change at some point potentially, but I wouldn't expect anything soon. I guess I'm trying to say it all to couch your expectations. There are decks that beat it. If you're frustrated by Unleash the Hounds, you can build decks to crush these decks. I know that people are.
They might be terrible against everything else, but yes, you can definitely do that. The percentages of hunters right now, you're seeing a ladder with your stats. Is it cross the threshold where?
If you're frustrated by Unleash the Hounds, you can build decks to crush these decks. I know that people are.
They might be terrible against everything else, but yes, you can definitely do that. The percentages of hunters right now, you're seeing a ladder with your stats. Is it crossed the threshold where it might be a problem or no?
I don't think that right now hunters are at the point at which we feel like we need to make a change today.
Okay, gotcha.
Along that line of having percentages for every class played, do you believe that these classes haven't been fully explored, or do you also? I guess I'll mix in a second question to that. Are you trying to give those classes that are currently underplayed a bit more love with the Naxxramas release, perhaps filling in some of their problem areas, adding in neutral cards which have synergy with their class, etc.?
Like the priest
and paladin, mostly.
Like the priest and the paladin. Yeah, paladin too. Paladin's been getting some hate. I mean,
I'll tell you that we're definitely going to change everything. So the meta that you're used to today is with Naxx, it's going to be totally different. There's just even one new class card and that many new neutral cards. There's a bunch of new deck types that'll, I think, be very interesting. And so it's tough to talk about the Naxxramas world in relation to what it looks like today, I think. When you talk about classes that have been that are unexplored, do I think things are unexplored? I think absolutely. I go on different sites every day to read about these new deck builds, and someone's like, hey, I just got the legend with this crazy deck that no one's seen before, and with this class that nobody plays, and then it like suddenly becomes hyper popular, and that's all I'm playing. It's on the ladder for a couple of days, and it's absolutely true that there's things that nobody has tried yet. There's deck types that maybe were popular once upon a time, and then people started to counter it, and then nobody's countering that anymore. They're countering this thing, and that's good again, or there's other new strategies that no one's played. I mean, I know people who have hit legend and high legend ranks with every class and with crazy different types of decks, and even as recently as yesterday. So it's you know, things definitely are changing constantly. I do think a lot of things are unexplored, and I think that's what's exciting about collectible card games. Honestly, somebody said to me, I forget who it was, maybe it was at a company event recently, that video games are the only type of art that you can create that surprises you. Like, if you make a painting and you look at it, you're like, I made that, I understand what that is, but you can make a video game and then players will do stuff and you're like, what? I didn't design every interaction right. and every deck in the meta and every variant of the meta, you know what I mean? And that's what is so exciting, because nobody knows. Nobody, not us, not you guys, nobody knows like what the right decks are at any given moment. And people are being creative and trying new things. And so it's changing every day. It's really exciting.
Is there a deck that you know you have tried personally that hasn't really ever showed itself in the metagame?
I like to make a lot of new crazy decks. I'm not sure that any of my decks are worthy of being metagame defining. But, you know, I try new things every once in a while. I'll tell you, I definitely have called certain cards and combination of cards that I felt like were much better than they were getting credit for, and then they became kind of meta-defining movements at some point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe like a quick question.
King Mukla is better than people think, and I know he got played in the Kalento deck for a little while anyway, and I was like, yes, finally! Mukla has his day!
People play Mukla. What do you think about Maligos? Maligos is becoming popular right now.
Yeah, before I came over here, someone was like, bro, you gotta try this rogue deck with Maligos. It's super
fun. One I've been playing. It's awesome.
I put it together and I'm like, oh, okay, this is good. I like it. It's so cool to see, especially legendaries, that people are like, oh, you should totally dust that guy, get this other guy. And then they come up and people are like, oh, you should totally play Maligos and Mukla. Like, these are so good.
Alakir is the best example. Like, everybody was dusting Alakir in the beginning. And then
super underrated as a legendary, I think. I think he's, well, now people are playing him, but back in the day, people were like, this is the worst. How come you made him so bad? How come you made Alakir so bad? And then now everyone's like, oh, Alakir's really good.
And there were no changes to Alakir, so
right, exactly.
It's the same card.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's actually, so beautiful. We almost buffed Alakir because I was getting so much feedback during our alpha test. Then I was like, okay, everybody, we get complaints from our top level players every day about Alec. They're like, please make this guy good. And then we're like, okay, let's do this. And then I looked at the stats, and he was our highest legendary from win rate in the alpha. And if we didn't have those back end stats, we actually would have made, a pretty terrible mistake.
Oh, man.
But just being able to look and see, like, okay, if you draw Alec here, you're going to win 67% of the time, or I don't know, I'm making up numbers, but, and this is back in the alpha, the game was totally different back then, but having those back-end numbers really helps us, like, understand, like, the feedback that we're getting, and then the reality of what's actually happening, and so it's super helpful.
What were you going to do to it? I mean, I'm curious, were you going to give it make it a 5-5 or something like that?
I'm going to make it a 3-7 or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That would have been ridiculous. It was a mistake.
That would have been cool.
Didn't do it.
Yeah.
Wow, thankfully you didn't do it. That would have been crazy. Jeff, you got another question you're about to ask?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about the meta. So, looking forward, are any of those new cards going to be influenced by the current meta game? Like, anything put in to try to deal with, instead of just actively nerfing or buffing cards now, just adding in cards in the future to deal with cards now?
Sort of. So, I think one of the things that we can do to make the meta game feel more vibrant, even. I mean, I don't know if we can make it feel more vibrant. It's like crazy vibrant right now. But is put more counters in to certain deck strategies. Like, I actually think that cards like Big Game Hunter and Black Knight are super healthy, because if certain decks start getting too good and you can expect things, then you can put things in your deck because you expect people to be running these things. And then the decks that are running counter meta actually start becoming better as well, because people are running these things to counter these things, and nobody's expecting these rogue decks to come in. And I mean rogue in the TCG sense, not the class WoW sense, the surprising decks. We're putting more of those types of things into Nexramas. Things that, like, oh, I'm frustrated by decks that are doing this type of strategy or using this type of mechanic. And there's going to be some new cards specifically designed to help players have more tools. there's not like the set is mostly about death and death rattle, but there are some cards that are that have nothing to do with death or death rattle. They're just there to because they're either super exciting or because they help with players who want to tune their deck specifically against matchups they're frustrated by or want to do better against.
So maybe can we like you might not be able to answer that question, but can we expect secrets and counters to secrets in next rounds?
I don't want to spoil any of the things.
Okay. That's why
there's exciting stuff for everybody in Naxxramas, but I don't want if I say anything about what types of things we're doing, it'll suck all the surprise out.
Right, exactly. You know, last week we had Reynaud on, and Reynaud, Trump, and I were discussing just the new cards, and Reynaud mentioned that Zoo seemed like it would be even stronger just based on just the five cards we saw there, and it had a lot to do with the Warlock's hero power. And generally, I think the hero power really is conducive for an aggro type of deck because you just keep drawing cards, right? Is that an issue right now from a standpoint of taking a look at that sort of thing? Just the hero power.
The hero power. I don't think the hero power needs to be changed today. No.
Okay.
I think what's actually super exciting about Warlock is how many different viable strategies there are to play that class.
Right.
I mean, you don't even know what type of Warlock deck you're up against when you see a Warlock, because you could play it Rush, you could play it Control, you could play it kind of with, you know, these crazy Giants versions. And so I think that's really exciting. I think, you know, the more we have of that kind of thing, the better. But it's really tough to talk about whether this type of deck or this type of deck will be good in the post-Naxxramas world, because there are so many new cards that are just going to change everything. So I can't really talk about whether Zoo is going to be better with Nax cards or worse with Nax cards. You've seen a couple Nax cards, but you haven't seen the vast majority of them yet, and there's some really exciting stuff there.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the now. So we alluded earlier to Unleash the Hounds. Are there any other cards that are on your watch list right now?
Yeah, there's a couple, but because we're unlikely to change them, I think just having them on our watch list just makes us think about them, you know, like, you know, maybe not to change the card at all, but maybe to think about Naxxramas or future expansions and what kinds of counters we want to have in those expansions. So we have a couple cards on our watch list. I think there's like three or four right now that we're thinking about, and not necessarily, like I said, to change them, but just to kind of keep our eye on what the meta is doing and, you know, are there any cards that are kind of unfun that we could make more fun or put counters in to make players feel better about having to face those cards? And that's the kind of stuff that we're thinking about. But I don't want to talk about exactly what cards those are because, you know, they may and probably won't change, and they're mostly informing future design.
Okay. I like the calculated and studied approach to these changes because there's... back in the beta, I actually thought there might have been some cards that were changed a bit too hastily. In fact, maybe now they're a bit weak. I don't know. Have you reflected on those in the past? I know it was a beta and whatnot, but I know some people were surprised in particular by the sweeping nerfs of, say, mages, like the freeze mage. And this is like a few months back. And who knows? Maybe that would have been viable now? Thoughts?
Well, I think those specific changes, while the mage was very powerful, were actually made not for power level reasons, but for fun level reasons. And that same reason we changed mind control. Playing against that particular deck, if you guys obviously played back then, but if any of the listeners played back then, I mean, a lot of times you'd play a minion, and the mage would freeze it, and like a lot of the times you'd almost never get to attack the whole game. They would just kill you before you did anything. And one of the things that makes Hearthstone fun is what Dodds likes to call little victories. I don't know if you've heard him say that. But basically the concept of, like, I may lose this game, but I got to do awesome stuff. I got to, like, you know, hit you in the face and kill your dudes and raise my guy and attack twice with him, you know. And you didn't win, but you felt good about it. You felt like you got to do some cool stuff. And hope maybe you did win. I don't know. But that concept of those little victories helps keep the game fun even when you're losing. And if you take that away, I think that's when Hearthstone becomes potentially frustrating. And so that whole mechanic, freeze, was, especially in the way that it presented in that deck, just took away for a lot of players the little victories and made losing less fun. anyway.
Can you see a way to integrate that back into the game? Because I feel like a freeze mechanic is really cool, just from the standpoint of the design of the game. Yeah, I can see why it's considered unfun, but I feel like it's such a huge part of the mage design, too.
No, certainly. And I think some cards that freeze are fine. Like Water Elemental, I think is exactly this. I think it's very interesting. Even Frostbolt. You have to think about what the freeze does in combat, or whether you're going to freeze the hero. Or I think that's actually kind of interesting. It's these mass whole board freezes that are super cost efficient, and especially ones that are also damaging your board at the same time in a class that can AOE everything down. Because you're kind of have that tension. Do I play more guys so that he can't kind of cold me, but then he flame strikes me? Ah! So.
Yeah.
That was the thing that we were trying to crush, is these unfun strategies at that point. But did we overreact in other places, maybe, and over-nerf things? Mm-hmm. It's possible. The thing that we were trying to do during the beta was get to a stable balance environment so that we could stop changing cards. We really wanted players to have faith in the cards and start trying to solve the meta, as opposed to giving up on it and waiting for balance changes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a much healthier approach to the game. And so our approach was get there as quick as possible, and if some cards have to die on the altar of balance, that's okay. We're going to make tons of new cards. Our plan is to make lots of new cards with the 30 Nax cards. We have expansions planned for the future. So there will be plenty of cards that are exciting and fun. If this one card is broken now and we have to nerf it, to make the game more fun, to get to that stable environment. That was kind of what we were thinking is the best thing to do.
So, getting back onto your perspective on the game design, where you want to have players going back and forth, trading blows and having fun together, what are your thoughts on Miracle Rogue, which is extremely fun and difficult to play, but creates this kind of environment that you spoke of, that your opponent is just sitting there and waiting for an unleashed...
General OTK. It's almost just an OTK kind of design, right?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing where there isn't that little victories and you're not getting to do cool stuff is frustrating. I'm not sure that that's exactly that type of thing, because you're still getting to do cool things against Miracle Rogues. You're still getting to do your combo or play your guys. Most of my time spent these days is on Naxxramas polish. I'm trying to make sure all the missions are fun and beatable, because some of them are maybe too hard right now. So our balance team is focused on more of that kind of stuff. So I just started playing with this new rogue deck today, and I don't have a ton of experience playing with the current Miracle Rogue setup. So it's hard for me to give you my thoughts on whether or not it's passing that line of fun or not.
Okay, so getting back to Naxxramas, and you mentioned your balance team. So right now you introduce a new mode into the game, adventure mode.
Mm-hmm.
So when you release new cards, you will have arenas to balance, constructed to balance, adventure mode to balance as well. So how do you split your time and between your team, and how are you prioritizing the things with regards to the balance of the new cards influencing all those different modes?
Well, they are mostly... worried about constructed, and we play a bunch of arena as well. Actually, the thing that we've been focused on for probably a lot of the time is actually growing this balance team. For a very long time, it was me and Eric Dodds, and we were trying to do all of this stuff. And it's just when we took years to build a set, maybe that's okay. And when you have a long beta period too.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Somebody's running. Sorry.
Wow.
We have to balance a set and have a long beta period to expose things that we didn't have time to crack within our company. Then you can maybe get away with two guys worrying about balance. But but now we're planning to have regular content, and we're planning on not having beta stuff. Yeah. Just going out with balanced cards right off the bat. And so we need dedicated, amazing balance designers. And so we've been slowly ramping this team up, and we continue to ramp it up going forward. And so that's kind of been our biggest focus almost as a balanced team. And then also worrying about Nax balance and what kinds of things do we need in Nax to help make sure that the metagame stays balanced and that these cards aren't aren't broken. But we also, I mean, the nice thing about missions is that we're trying to balance them for kind of everyone. And so really everyone helps give us feedback on is it fun? Could I beat it? You know, do I want it to be a little harder, a little easier? And so we're getting feedback not just from our hardcore balance guys on those, but everybody. Everybody's a good balance designer when it comes to the missions.
Yeah, what is the internal process for that? I mean, this is good. This is definitely the first part of that question as to what you guys do. You definitely have a team. Do you present them a card and then just kind of like have them go at it for a few days, or do you sit around a table and discuss it and then, you know, just kind of base it on just y'all's expertise and that sort of thing? Or do you have maybe even just like a sample group that comes, or a test group that comes in, you know, just a folks like us, and we go and you know, get a chance to play it for a little bit, like a day or two, and then you get feedback from them?
The current way that we do it is actually there's a couple pockets of feedback groups throughout the company. Mm-hmm. We have this great group of guys who are just super good gamers I think they're the guys who help balance the WoW raids. They're like really hardcore WoW raiders, and they also help us balance Hearthstone cards. And so they just play a bunch of games, and they give us a bunch of feedback, and that's been super helpful. We also have a strike team, which basically every Blizzard game gets a strike team, and it's just people from everywhere in the company, ranging from players who are kind of new to the genre and players who are really good, and they play a lot and give us lots of feedback. And then we also have now this balance team on our team who's giving who's like making changes and trying new things, and like what if this is 4 cost instead of 5 cost, or what about this? And those guys are playing every card. They're trying lots of decks. They're watching tons of streams to keep an eye on what's happening in the live metagame today. They're playing on the ladders. These guys are legend level players right now on the ladders. When they think about, okay, we've got these new cards that we want to make. How do we test them to make sure they're balanced? A lot of times they're looking at like risky mechanics, things that they, through their experience over time, have learned, like, okay, this is because we made this card, you know, a year ago and it was really broken. Maybe this version of it would be less broken, but we've got to test it a lot and with these other things. And so really these guys just have a ton of experience balancing complex systems. And they kind of got this intuition as to what could be broken and what needs to be tested quite a bit.
Okay, great. Jeff, any more questions?
That was a super long answer.
That was a great answer, actually.
Not too much information. Oh, yeah, that's really cool to hear that. You guys definitely sound like you know what's going on. Along with that bigger team, what about some cool new features like OBS mode or replays? Is that on the foreseeable horizon at all?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'll tell you that pretty much there's going to be more of everything. There's going to be more cards. There's going to be more features. We were laser focused on getting Hearthstone shipped on all these different platforms, on PC, Mac, and iPad. And now we're launching more platforms. We're working on more features. Working on more cards. Specifically about Observer Mode, we are actively researching the types of things that we want to be involved in that and how to do it. And that's something that we're looking at. The foreseeable future, I'm not sure what timeline that equates to, but we're definitely, it's on our plate right now.
Okay, great, yeah. I'm super excited about that. I can't wait for that. Obviously, a lot of people are. And either of you guys have any more balance questions, or we can maybe move on to some cool news that's been going on?
Well, it will be really interesting to see, like, after you ship Nox in full, how it will actually look at the metagame, because you had a lot of time to actually test the core set. Like, you were building it for years, and then there was testing for a long time as well. And here it's like seems like a shorter period of time when the set is being released without like test realm or something. So
right,
pretty interesting to see how it turns out. But I'm really excited for that.
Yes, it's going to be different because it's shorter. There's no beta period, but we have been working on Nax for a long time. Actually, it's been many months in development. I think we had almost all the next cards locked down way before we shipped live Hearthstone. So we've had a lot of time to play with them, and we have this incredible balance team now. So I'm much more confident in the balance of Nexramas than I was when we went open beta with original Hearthstone. Not to say that they'll be exactly perfect and there will never be a change, because you never know. Players are much more creative that, like, you know, there's millions of players, and there's, you know, right now there's only a few of us, so you know we could make mistakes, but we're trying really hard to make sure that these are balanced and fun and feel very powerful, and hopefully we hit that mark.
All right, so, well, let's move on to some of the other cool news going on involving Hearthstone. And first off, the iPad launch. Right now, it's pretty much fully released in a lot of the big countries. Still some other places where it can still be launched, but it's top 10, I think, in all those regions, of course. And that's really exciting because, you know, the mobile users are large and much larger than the PC, even console type of, realm. So this is kind of the first, the first Blizzard title, at least, that's really endeavored into this, and it's really, really cool. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on just the whole iPad launch.
It's awesome. It's like the best thing ever. When the iPad came out, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to make Hearthstone for this. This is going to be crazy. And it's to see it actually come true is bonkers. I can't even tell you how excited I am to, I love, I'm a little bit of an Apple fanboy. Sorry to anybody who hates Apple fanboys, but I love my iPad. I use it all the time. I play in my bed constantly. And it just changes everything. I can't talk up enough how freaking excited I am to be able to play Hearthstone on my tablet. It's crazy. And it's going to get even crazier when we go on phone later this year. It's just nuts. And exciting to see it's weird to call tablet players mobile because they don't feel very mobile to me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The tablet audience see Hearthstone and realize how much freaking work went into this game and how much love and polish and we worked so hard to make it awesome and feel really it's a real full game that is not as common, I guess, on the App Store. We were so excited to see people really love it and get excited about its appearance there.
Any design decisions that you had to make based on just the touch aspect of it and just really the usability of a device like the tablet?
Not so much design decisions, but it kind of took a we had to think differently about the game as we were making it because we knew we were going to go on iPad eventually. And so we would start to design user interface and then we're like, okay, how do you see the mana curve for this? And then someone would say, like, oh, what if you mouse over the deck? And then Gabe, who's working on the iPad version, is like, what's a mouse over? And we were like, oh, shoot, I gotta think, you know. So we had to make sure that as we were designing these features for PC, that we were also thinking about what that would mean when we start working on or have to make that feature work on iPad. And because we were thinking about it all the time as we were working on the PC version, it translated really well. There wasn't a ton of things that were like, oh my gosh, we have to redo this whole thing because it's not going to work on iPad. I think the most challenging thing though was Battlecry targeting. That ended up, I'm not sure that we knocked that out of the park on the PC version either, and maybe that was part of the problem. But that had the hardest transition over to iPad, and not to say that that was super hard, but because really it was a pretty great fit for iPad and things kind of naturally work on that platform really great, but that was probably the hardest thing, I think.
Okay. Nimsh, you were going to ask something?
Yeah, I wanted to say that the iPad version seems pretty good. Like, in most cases when you see games, they are being made as a light version, and you really made it as a one-to-one game. Like, it feels, it's the same game. Like, you play on PC, you play on iPad, it's still the same game, same account, same collection. So it transitioned really well. I will really want to see, like, in the future, what will be dominant, like which platform, because like it's the first Blizzard iPad game. So if you're going to explore that market, like how it will be for the other games, or like for Hearthstone, like will iPad be the key platform where people play Hearthstone actually?
Yeah, that will be super interesting, especially when we go into Android and phones, mm-hmm. because those platforms are much bigger than anything else. And I don't know. I mean, is that going to be where people like to play Hearthstone most? I mean, it's very different, right? Like, you're it's this as opposed to, you know, well, on your PC monitor.
That's kind of what I was getting at, is that you know, with the really limited real estate on a phone, you know, a lot of us have fat fingers, you know, yep. And it, I'm wondering if it's going to, you know, if it's going to play a role into, you know, possibly changing the UI for it.
The phone, the reason why we didn't just go iPhone and iPad right away is because the phone takes, unlike the iPad, where it's a very similar experience to PC, we're going to have to think about what needs to change for that phone thing. And we're working a lot on it, and I don't have any concerns. It's going to be amazing. I mean, yeah. Being able to play Hearthstone anywhere at any time is so exciting. But it takes more, especially things like the collection manager, managing your deck. Those little as UI elements start to get very tiny, that's when I think we'll have the biggest challenge making it for the phone. And we want to make sure that it feels great there. We want to make sure that we're not just taking what we have and saying, okay, well, let's put it on the phone. Yeah. It's good enough. Like, we care a lot about interface. I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell, the interface is really important to us. That's actually, I think Eric Dodds's focus on keeping us, and Derek Sakamoto, their focus on keeping a simple, easy to understand interface is one of the reasons why Hearthstone is so accessible. Even aside from the actual gameplay, just being able to like navigate the menus and build a deck in a way that is that doesn't make your head explode. I mean, that was something that actually was really hard. It was making a collection manager that was easy to use. Yep. and then doing that again for like, you know, a fourth of the real estate. Right. Like, it's really challenging. But I think we're gonna knock it out of the park again there because we have super talented guys working on it.
Yeah, definitely fully confident you guys are going to be able to do it. And I actually think the touch, even just the interaction on the iPad, is more natural than it is on the PC. And it's a card game, right? So it kind of feels more interactive when you're moving your hand.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's just, there's a lot of very natural things about it that really makes it conducive for the game. So it's awesome. Really, really excited about it. I kind of want to move on to another piece of news, which was, I guess you guys announced more details on the World Championships. Mm-hmm. And just how that's going to work. And I kind of want to start off, you know, we can talk a little bit more about the details, but what's your thoughts on just the whole eSport thing? Because it's starting to blow up right now. I mean, it was our, you know, the whole BlizzCon thing, it was kind of eye-opening. Everybody was like, oh, wow, this could actually get viewers and stuff. But now I think it's in full scale blowing up. So what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you could guess. I'm super excited.
Well, yeah. But it's
great. It's something, and we say this all the time, it's something that we thought could happen because we were playing it at, like, and this still happens today. Someone will pop up a game like, okay, I'm about to head home, I'll play a game of Hearthstone, and then, like, whoosh, 20 people show up and watch, and like, oh, no, don't do that, dude, what are you doing? And it's really conducive to watching people play. Eric Dodds calls this the over-the-shoulder experience. We knew that we could make a really accessible card game, but if it doesn't look fun, then you're like, why try it? And so make it like, and the artist did such a crazy job making this game really like look awesome, and that adds to the easy to understand gameplay. And so you can watch, even if you don't play Hearthstone, you can watch it and be entertained at by watching pro level players play this game. And that's, we kind of suspected that could happen because of the way that people were responding to it at work. And then when it started actually happening, we were like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. It's so exciting for us because like those games are so fun to watch. It's so exciting. And even just the part that we had in making any of it possible is so cool it's great. So I'm super excited about all of the esports things that are happening and they are continuing to happen. And even the stuff that we have a part in, like the World Championships.
Yeah, Nimsh, I think you had a question about World Championships.
Yeah, obviously, like World Championship is relevant to my interests. So I'm super happy, super excited that we will have a World Champion this year because a World Champion is really important to every card game. So the question will be, are you planning, are there any plans on a prize pool for World Champs? Or are we fighting for glory and honor?
I actually don't know about their plans for that stuff. But I guess we'll find out. I'm sure they'll announce more details as we get closer to the event.
Yeah. Still super exciting. Like fighting for the title, it's great. So you announced like also Fireside Gatherings. Like it seems like those Blizzard is interested in those small events as well. Like. Big scale event, World Champs, small scale event, Fireside Gatherings, getting people together, play and compete actually, because this is when people play together. We are not cooperating, we are competing.
Right. I think the Fireside Gatherings thing is really interesting. It's very unique in this world. You know, like obviously other card games have kind of analogs to this by necessity because you have to play with other people in meat space. As far as video games go, especially digital card games, this is not a thing that happens. And with our ability to go onto iPad, we thought, well, how can we get people to interact? Is that fun? Is that cool? We think it might be really cool. You know, we have memories of playing card games and going to you know, game stores and interacting with people and meeting new friends. And we were like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if that was the kind of thing that Hearthstone could be for people as well, is this opportunity to meet people of the same passions and interests as you, and you could, you know, get help with a deck, or maybe, you know, you want to see what other people are playing or talk about your strategies or your stories. Could this be that thing for us? So that's what we're trying, and I'm super interested to hear. If I know, Jan Man, you're yes. running a fireside gathering over there.
Yep, South Florida. Do you want to be doing it? Yeah, I was telling Lindsay, I'm totally advocate of this, and I've been wanting to do, you know, just kind of start this movement again about just, you know, bringing back BYOCs, but call this BYOTs, right? Given that it's a tablet kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's all about that. We got portable computers now, and yes. we can just meet anywhere. And there's something great about having physical social interaction, right, between all these folks. We've kind of been totally into this online interaction these days, which is great. You know, we have all kinds of easy and just great ways to chat, and even like Skype, which is cool, but not the same as being in the same place, getting a chance to enjoy yourself, even in just like a place where you can eat and have drinks and stuff and play the game, right? So
yeah,
this exactly. thing is awesome. Like, I really, really love it.
Well, tell me how your event goes. If anybody yep. else goes to sure. a fireside gathering, tweet at me or post in the forums or let me know somehow what you thought and if it's cool, because I think this is potentially just the beginning, and we could even do more with this type of thing. And we're trying to support it within the game by offering like the card back and things like that, and we could continue to do even more stuff like that in the future. So I really just want to hear, what do people think? Is this awesome? Should we do more of this? And that's kind of what the feedback I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I guess I will be enjoying fireside gatherings like in 2 days in Romania. I'm going to DreamHack. Awesome. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you who don't know about the fireside gathering, it's basically like April 26th. There's going to be more in the future. You can do it whenever you want, but April 26th is kind of the collective, the entire community trying to do a fireside gathering in whatever location, and just gathering on that one day and having a good time and seeing how many folks will get together and that sort of thing. So
yeah, and it could be any size really. You can get yeah. you know, two of your buddies together and yeah, go to Starbucks and
McDonald's, which, man.
Cool. Yeah, or yeah, anywhere and play some games or just over to your house. Like, it doesn't matter. Just play some Hearthstone.
Absolutely. So, well, I think we're about out of time with you, Ben, but it's amazing. I thought you were going to blow our mind. What's the wit answer was supposed to blow our mind, dude?
I forgot to tell you. Yeah. You guys sent me a couple of the questions you were going to ask beforehand, yeah. and one of them said that you said priest is probably the least popular class on
yes,
the ladder.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I know you're good players because priest is only the least popular at the very top sliver yeah. of gameplay.
That's right.
If you look at the entire ladder, priest is like the fourth most played class. So it's
really?
I thought that I knew you would be surprised by that. But it's hard to when because you're playing at like a thin band yeah. usually of skill level, right? Like, I mean, I know yeah. Trump is going up the ladder over and over again. but most people play it at this thin band, and they don't see all this huge other variety of classes and decks that are being played out there. So just a little insight into what the rest of the Hearthstone community is experiencing wherever they're playing.
Fourth.
I got to admit, I think I was in charge of asking that, and I missed out on it because I didn't think that priest was going to be the least popular. Like, I imagine mage is pretty popular also, not on the higher levels, but on the lower levels perhaps.
Well, it's very interesting. It's just different, like, wherever you look. And it's really cool to have all these back-end stats to see, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is, you know, this is starting to come up here. And anyway, I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But pleasure having you on, Ben. This is amazing. Yes. You are awesome, man. I just love, like, I've always
Bonus
enjoyed
question.
Watching your interviews. actually, oh, that's right. Nimsh has a closing question. I forgot
Oh, great.
This.
Yeah. Do I have it? Oh, I have it, actually, yeah.
Yes.
So, Ben, how did you enjoy Elite Tower and Chieftain being there on a big scene
on a big stage, man. Big stage.
That was awesome. That was fantastic. I love it. I expect to see it again at the BlizzCon World Championships. I assume you're going to make it. So I hope you busted it.
I certainly hope so.
Style points. And then You know, Trump also has the Hungry Crab also. Yeah.
That was amazing. That was great.
Definitely good stuff. But yeah, why don't we do some shout-outs, thank yous. You have any shout-outs you want to do, Ben?
Oh, yeah. I would like to shout out to my homies on Team 5 and all my other friends who have just realized Hearthstone's a thing on iPad and are texting me asking what deck to build. And all of my other homies at Blizzard. And you guys, I really appreciate all of the incredible streams and stories you guys are telling on your streams and the show. This show is, I love this stuff.
Awesome. Nymphs, you want to do some shouts, maybe?
Yeah, obviously. Shout out to the team, shout out to all the friends, shout out to all the fans that are following me and supporting me as well. Shout out to my parents who support me as well. And shout out to the DreamHack organizers. They were really helpful with everything. And big shout out to Blizzard for an awesome game. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, and thanks to the team.
Trump?
Shout out Eric Dodd, since you mentioned that he's in charge of making the interface look good. I think that's so important. It's really what sets this game apart from a lot of the other games that I've tried that are in the same card game genre. And I'm glad that it's fun to watch. That's why people come to watch. And I owe Team 5 that, so way to go.
That's right. Awesome. Well, I'll round things out by, again, just giving you guys props. And, you guys... I've gotten to know you guys over the past few months and quickly becoming some of my favorite people at Blizzard. And I know you guys work hard and really love the fact that the Hearthstone team, acts as this kind of separate small entity, and things just start coming out at a faster rate than we normally see from Blizzard, which is amazing. And I hope it continues. And, again, Ben, hopefully we can have you on again sometime,
Yes, I would love to.
It'd be awesome. But, folks that just tuning in and you missed the beginning of the show, the VODs will be up on youtube.com/ChainManV. Be sure to follow all of us on Twitter at ChainManV, at NymphTV, at BDBroad, at TrumpSC. And follow this channel, too, if you enjoy the show or any of my other shows. Tomorrow, guys, Deck Wars is going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern again. It's going to be ECOP versus Dark Wannix, so check that out. It's my show match series I do each and every week. But that's going to be it for Valuetown this week, guys. So until next week, we will see you next time. Later!